Welcome to A New Lens with Common Good Capital, where we talk with investors, RIAs, fund managers, and philanthropists about their experiences within different impact investing themes, as well as explore the power of stewardship and capital. I'm your host, Jeff Schaefer, CEO of Common Good Capital, and I'm here with Heather Fortner. Heather is CEO of Signature FD, a $5 billion RIA headquartered in Atlanta, Georgia, with an ethos or approach that combines wealth and worth to find meaning beyond wealth. That's a mouthful, so I'm sure we'll hear more about that. I had the privilege of meeting Heather several years ago at a conference, and we had a wonderful breakfast, you know, sharing our stories. And so when I was thinking about somebody to interview, immediately she popped into my brain. Heather is inspiring to get to know and clearly a leader of her firm and within the financial services industry. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
You just told me that you are getting over COVID. Your whole family is.
Yeah.
Is everybody doing okay?
Everybody's doing great. Interestingly enough, we had COVID last year at the beginning of the year and probably had it before they even knew. It was right at the end of January, beginning of February, and then got it again at the same time this year. So I'm pretty convinced those antibodies, they probably only last about 12 months.
Well, I actually just got over COVID myself. And so it's funny because my brother lives in, and you and I have, obviously you've met my brother. He lives in Rwanda and he's been encouraging me to come over, and I've needed to because I want to see him. Plus we're doing an investment over there. But this idea of getting over there and getting stopped because you end up having COVID. So hopefully I've got antibodies for a little while. So I'm going to go do it.
Once you've had it, it's like, once you break free of that quarantine because you've had it, you kind of just want to run out into the world and touch everything you possibly can.
Yep.
And just say, I can't get it for at least a little bit longer.
Well, until we hear something new. But for now, that's what I'm operating under. Well, I appreciate you spending some time with us here today. So let's start off. Give us a little background of yourself, kind of where you grew up, maybe where you went to school, and then just a high level of your career.
I grew up, I was thinking about it before the podcast started, 40 years ago. That's crazy to even say. I grew up in Charlotte, North Carolina. It was, you know, kind of a small town 40 years ago, which when we moved to Atlanta 30 years ago, I was 15. My dad worked for Deutsche Bank and we got transferred to Atlanta. And I remember driving, I literally remember the day that we drove down 75 to our new house. And I was like, what is this place? Like, I've never seen a place this big. Holy cow, these highways are enormous. I'm never going to be able to drive. I was so worried. Like, I was supposed to be learning how to drive. And I was like, I'm just never going to drive because this place is crazy. These people are nuts.
Did you get your learner's permit right away or did you wait?
No, I totally waited.
All right.
I was like, this is too intimidating, which it still kind of is intimidating. We moved to Atlanta. I finished high school here. And then, you know, I actually went to several different schools, ended up getting my finance degree at Kennesaw State, right up here close by in the Metro Atlanta area, and then got my master's in professional counseling at Georgia State at night. I did that while I was working. So high level of my career, when I graduated from Kennesaw State and got my finance degree, really had no idea what I wanted to do. And it just so happened that my investment professor, I was, you know, do I do more planning? Do I do more investments? Like, I don't really know what my passion is. And he sat on the board of a mutual fund in the area. And he was like, you know what? I know this firm. Why don't you just go be an intern and see what they do? And I was like, sure, why not? That sounds great. So I started interning and really just fell in love with the financial planning aspect, the client aspect, and was fortunate to get a really good look at how the planning worked, how they did what they did for clients. Got hired on there full-time when I graduated, worked there 2 years. They then started a trust company. And I was like, hey, I'd love to go help and try and see what's out there. And they had a need on the technology and operational side to really build the platform from ground up, which I found super interesting and always love new challenges and learning new things. So I was like, sure, I'll try. So we dug in there and built the technology platform and got that business up and running. And then 2 years into that, I realized that I was kind of bored again. And the back office of a bank was not necessarily where I wanted to spend my entire career. So found a Signature FD and started as a client care associate, rolled into a client service role and was like, I'm willing to do anything. This is where I want to be. And I want to learn, and was really fortunate at the time. We were about maybe $250 million at the time. So there was really just an opportunity to dig in and learn anything and everything that you could possibly want to learn. I loved it. It was different every day, which I had realized about myself that being bored, when I'm bored, I'm my worst human ever. And so I need, constant movement and growth in order to remain my best self. And so I just went where the need was and got into different things and learned those different areas. We had compliance was an area that really nobody wanted. And it was like, hey, I can be good at that. I can organize some things and be sure that we're, we got some processes in place. So started doing that, which was enormously helpful. I don't know that people grow up thinking, hey, I really want to be a chief compliance officer, right? Like that sounds fantastic. That was not
said another way. Those who do grow up that want to be that, they're very special.
They are.
Yep.
So unique and actually so needed.
So needed. Totally agree.
Valued. Like,
yep.
But what I didn't understand, just because I was young and naive, was the value, right? Mm-hmm. That brought to the business. And mm-hmm. that in order to do that position well, you did have to understand how all of the pieces of the business came together. And you needed to understand how to build solid infrastructures and solid teams and solid systems and solid processes to be able to do things consistently and well in a highly regulated space. Mm-hmm. And so leaning into that, I did that while I also did other things. But what that afforded me was an opportunity to really begin to learn the business side of what are we doing? Why are we doing it? How do we do it most efficiently? And how do we do it well? How do we do it consistently, time and time and time again, for our clients to provide the best experience that we possibly can? From there, it became the director of operations. From there, became the chief operating officer, all while holding the chief compliance officer role. And here we are today.
One commoner thought I'd love to hear from you is, and I'm going to pontificate for a second here. It seems to me when I look around at, and this is not blaming the younger generation, but just a perception I have. And part of that's we live in a world where you've got these startups and all of a sudden, kids, these young college grads get out of school and have this massive success, or they all want to grow so quickly. But I hear your story, and actually I have a similar story as well. Any thoughts on just, or articulate a little more of the value of, you started at the bottom and mm-hmm. you obviously saw all the business. Pontificate just a second on how that plays into your current role.
I think you make several great points there that, you could go 10 different directions. When I think back on, because I have done a lot of introspection of what just happened, like how in the mm-hmm. world did this happen? One, I think one of the differences between the then when I was coming up through our industry and the now is that, I remember, when the internet quote unquote began, right? Like mm-hmm. I didn't even know what it was, mm-hmm. And so information and understanding of what the industry was and how it all worked, like you had to go to school to get that, or you had to know somebody who was working in it and could explain it all to you. It wasn't like you could just get on the internet and do all your research ahead of time and come to an interview or go to college already pretty much schooled on what you wanted to do and what you wanted to become. There's a difference in the amount of information that people have available to them today, which the pace, quite honestly, the pace at which the younger generation operates today, it's just faster than it was for us. And so for me, it was just the next logical step because I just wanted to know more and I had space to be curious. Sometimes these millennials today, God bless them, like they don't even get the space. Things mm-hmm. are just kind of forced at them more quickly than they ever have been before. And so I understand why they would be expecting to move at a faster mm-hmm. pace than we have. Mm-hmm. I don't fault them for that at all. I wish, and part of the one of the things that I want to be able to help people with is the ability to slow down and the ability to give yourself the space and the freedom to be curious and to not feel like you have to know it all and rush to judgment and decide who you want to be when you grow up immediately out of the gate. Because if I had decided that early on in my career, I never would be, it would have never occurred to me, I want to be the CEO of a right. large financial,
you right.
know, and it, I mean, that would have just never been in my vocabulary.
You're CEO today. So how would you describe yourself in the context of where you are in your life journey?
So as I thought about that, there were three things that really came to mind for me. The first was that this period is definitely one of evolution, where the things that got me here are not the things that are going to mm-hmm. get me where mm-hmm. and I feel like that's the book, you know, Move My Cheese. It's mm-hmm. like, okay, you were really good at all of these things before, right? You were excellent at execution. You were excellent at being able to see it and map it and create the processes and create the structure and all of those things. And all of those things got you to this place. But what takes you into the future, like how do you lead a team of 90 or 100 or 200 or 300 well? It's not those same skills, right? And so there's really this evolution of how do you take what you have learned? How do you take the toolbox that you've been so intentional about building, whether they're emotional skills, whether they're technical skills, whether they're communication skills, whether whatever kind of skills they are, because they're all skills and they're all learnable skills, and put them in your toolbox and move your toolbox to a whole different shop, right? Like you're in a different shop right now mm-hmm. and there's a new car and you got to figure out which tools work that potentially, you know, worked differently in the old shop that you were at. Really this evolution of self, which I find so exciting. Like there's nothing more that I like than reinventing and evolving and growing that. Like that is a beautiful spot to be for me. And then it's refinement, right? It is, okay, you've moved to this new shop and you've rolled your, and I've got this vision of, you know, my husband's big red toolbox that's got like, you know, all the,
oh, yes.
and the cards and yep. all the men on here are like, yes, that's exactly, but that's literally the vision that I have. And now it's, okay, I've got this skill, but I need to refine it to work on this different car, right? And I need it to be more savvy, or I need it to be a little smaller or a little bigger, or whatever that is. It's this evolution of finer tools and understanding where to use those finer tools. Really the evolution of self, the refinement of my skills, the refinement of my unique abilities. I'm coining this word, okay?
Okay.
This phrase. I'm going to trademark it. When I was thinking about myself, and you're going to laugh, but this is truly how I think about myself. And everyone on at Signature FD would tell you this, like, I need maps. I am such a map person. I remember being small and we would go on road trips and my dad would have me sit, you know, we had this big green clunker of a car and he would have me sit in the middle and, you know, he'd unfold the map, right? Cause you didn't have,
I remember those days. Yes.
And it was so fascinating to me to be able to, he'd say, okay, you know, we're at this place or we're at this mile and you could track on the map. And that's literally how my brain works. And I see things that way. And when I tried to explain to someone that that's how I think about the world, this term of this strategic cartographer, right? The people who make the maps, the people who, I mean, there are people who actually sit down and draw these things out, right? To where other people can visualize what you're talking about, where they can see where they're going and where you're taking them. And you can point to the milestones along the way, but being that in a strategic way, being that for other people as it relates to, we have a vision of where we're going. I know that some words are potentially not going to resonate with you. I'm going to build this map to show you. And then we're going to set milestones along the way so that we can celebrate our progress and not lose the joy of the journey. Like that, to me, is being able to stand in your unique ability and the things that you're passionate about and bring others into a journey that is fulfilling. I mean,
so that map concept, which is really a great way to think about it, do you project that onto your clients? Are you trying to also create a roadmap for their lives?
Yes, I think that that's where we're headed, which okay. is if you think about the pursuit of net worthwhile, which is what our organization is about, and you think about these concepts in that framework, the map's always evolving. The concept mm-hmm. of evolution, the concept of refinement, the concept of seasons. My goals earlier in my life were much different than they are now. That is an evolution of net worthwhile, and my fulfillment and my purpose evolves as I gain maturity, as I gain experience, as I gain family and friends and community. And as I gain all of these things, right, my journey evolves. And so it is this constant pursuit of the things that matter most to you and being intentional, so intentional about happening to your own life and not letting life happen to you. And when you take control of that, because that's really the only thing that you do have control mm-hmm. over is mm-hmm. your own self and your own responsibility and your own life. And when you lean into the intentionality behind all of that, that's where you get clarity. And mm-hmm. that's when you know how to best deploy your wealth to support where it is that you're going. So if your map says you're going to California, but you deploy your resources and they're taking you to Maine, you're headed in the wrong direction. So how do we help people think about their map? How do we help them think about the intentionality behind the things that drive their worth so that we can help them craft a plan on the wealth side of the house that's in support of their overall net worthwhile?
So it's interesting and I don't want to kill this analogy because yeah. But when you're talking, one of the things that hit me was you think about, and I'll use my parents as an example. Yeah. My parents are 77 and 74. And so their map, so to speak, obviously is going to look different than my map. But not only that, their map probably is a map like you described. It's probably on paper. It's probably how they grew up. Whereas if you look at the younger generation, just the concept of the map, it is an electronic map. And so even just the way you communicate this to the different constituents is probably interesting. And I would imagine too, even the speed, when I think of a millennial or whatever, they're probably getting constant feedback where I'm not so sure my mom at 77, part of just where they are in the life cycle.
Sure.
But I mean, I don't think she wants to get moment by moment data points.
Ages and stages, right? Seasons of life. And the brilliance is being able to craft an experience that people can opt into at whatever pace is comfortable for them. Like you should be able, regardless of where you go, regardless of what firm you work with, regardless of where you are in life, you should be able to dictate the pace, the amount, the way that you engage to craft an experience. That's what you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
That is, I believe, the future of where our industry has to go.
So this next question, thank you. You can answer it specific to Signature FD and your role, or you can answer it bigger, or I guess from a personal. So however you want, and you may have already alluded to it, how would you say you are trying to change the world?
I think that that's a fantastic question. So I really believe that the way I have generational impact is by touching several people's lives deeply, because it's kind of the teach the teacher concept. Eventually, there will be exponential growth. I can't necessarily individually touch a million people, But if I can have an impact on 100 and help them, then they can have an impact on, you know, 10,000, and you get exponential impact from there. So the way I think about that is, it's kind of, again, back to my map concept, right? It's like one map that then has another map, a 3D, like we're getting into like the evolution of 3D models here. But so at the core level, I think about individuals having natural skill sets and talents, right? And if I had to give you an example, my natural skill set and talent is structural in nature, right? I am OCD, completely type A. I love to be able to get things done and execute well, but I'm able to do that in the context of, I can reverse engineer my way into anything. So as long as I see the map, I can figure out a way to get there, right? And I have enormous ability to lean into the execution at a detailed level. That's a natural skill set. It's something I do no matter what. But then my passion is people. My passion is organizational systems and dynamics, right? The concept of how you take a system, whatever system that may be, whether it's a family system, an organizational system, and you layer in people and their complexities and their natural talents and passions into a system that then creates the most efficient organizational system that you can possibly have. Organizational dynamics at its core, right? So you overlap those two things and you're your best self. Like, you're operating in your sweet spot when you can find a role that allows you to utilize not only your passions, but your talents. So first, the base layer of the model is that helping get people into the right seat on the right bus, doing the right things for what they're naturally gifted to do and passionate about. Because if you've got that, then you've got a system where everyone's rowing in the same direction, everyone's excited, everyone's operating at their best self. And then you overlap that with purpose and resources, and you combine, okay, well, these people who are operating at their best self, they now have a purpose. And their resources are aligned to that purpose, that is net worthwhile. And whether that happens at the organizational level, whether that happens at the individual level,
right?
Like, that is net worthwhile. So my passion is helping people get to that place where they, not only do they get it, but they're living it, right? Because that means that not only are they in their individual purpose, but they are plugged into an organization or a system that is aligned to that purpose and allowing them to function as their best selves moving forward. That, to me, there's absolutely nothing better.
Wow. That is very well said. And I'm not going to, there's books and multiple books and things that you've said that you've put together, but what's interesting is that, again, as you're talking about it, obviously you were talking about it from a signature FD perspective, but then for you to say, and basically that's the same for a system, a client or whatnot.
A family, anything,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Any, like, that concept of truly getting to the place that you were made to be. I mean, I simply believe that every human has an innate value and that if they can uncover that value and then align themselves to either organizations or systems or communities that are supportive and bolster, like, magic happens. It is just phenomenal to see.
All right. So let's isolate. I think you said the word resource. Is that how you describe? Okay. In the context of a resource, whether it's a business or whether it's an individual, when did you realize the power of capital?
You know, obviously, right, my whole career has been in an industry focused on capital.
Right.
From a financial monetary perspective. But as I thought more deeply about the question, I have this memory. So I was very fortunate when I was in high school that I did several mission trips. One, I spent a month in Russia in Khabarovsk, Russia. And then I did a couple medical mission trips to Haiti. And I remember, obviously, I remember several components of each of those trips very vividly. But I actually had worse culture shock when I visited Russia than I did when I visited Haiti.
Interesting.
I expected the third world poverty of Haiti because it's well known. My mother had been before. I had seen pictures. Like it was my expectation. When I went to Russia, it was not my expectation to see the conditions that these people were living in. And what I vividly remember coming home and struggling through was this concept of how does it change? How does it change without help? How does it change without money? How does it change without capital? And I think that was really the point in my life where I started to understand that the opportunities that I had, even though we didn't grow up with money, you know, that, that was not, I paid my way through school. Like it was not that we had much, but in comparison to what others didn't have, we had abundantly more. And I think that that was really the point in my life where I just started to understand that access to capital, access to opportunity, it's almost the same thing. And that without that, there's almost not a way out for some people. And that is something that has resonated with me for a very long time. And quite honestly, when I was studying finance, there was a real internal struggle of why do I just want to be in an industry where, you know, you just make rich people richer? Like there was almost a distaste for me of doing that and moving into this industry from a career perspective, because I just was struggling to wrap my brain around how all of that worked.
And I'm going to be slightly negative on the American dream for a second. Because I think we as humans, we tend to take things to the extreme. But so let's just go to the American dream, which I'm going to flush it out in, you know, in one little comment. I think the American dream, there's a lot of wonderful things about it. But I think there is this illusion that if you get capital or if you have capital, you now have meaning and things go better. And clearly there is a point where, everybody would love to have enough to survive and to thrive in that matter. But I think what I'm hearing you say throughout this today is, you know, capital isn't the only thing. So then how do you integrate this idea of stewardship, whether you have a lot or whether you have a little, and how does that fit into this whole equation?
I think it fits beautifully into the equation. And I think you captured it well, which is that your resources, they are encompassing of more than just money. Right. I have emotional resources. I have time. I have skill resources. I have enormous amount of resources just in my person that is outside of my portfolio value. Mm-hmm. However, my portfolio value could potentially give me access to opportunities that other people do not have, right? Mm-hmm. So how do I take all of that, which we believe wealth encompasses all of those things, not just your portfolio. And how do I, one, not allow myself to feel defined by the number on the page, but then also be super intentional about allocating all of those resources, not just my dollars, but my time and my energy and my relationships to the pursuit of whatever my net worthwhile is. How do I do that? And I think that one is just that you have to be intentional about knowing where you're going. Do you have a map? Like, have you taken the time to sit down and be truly honest with yourself about the things that matter to you? Does California, going to California, even resonate with you? Or do you hate California? Like, why go to California if you hate California? Mm-hmm. Sometimes people go places just because somebody told them to, or they think that it's best, or they get caught up in the noise or distraction when really, you know, Maine is really more kind of their their jam and that's really where they'd want to go. So I think intentionality and then just the application of that, right? Get the right experts involved, whether that is a financial expert or a legal expert or counseling or coaching or whatever those right resources are to then, once you've done some of the hard work yourself, even if you need someone on the journey to help you do the hard work, get the right experts involved, the right team around you to be able to help you execute well. Because intention is one thing, but execution, right, is, you can have a great intention, but if you know, you're executing poorly or not at all, I mean, you're just stagnant.
This will be the last question, I think. And I always preface this because I'm a type of person who, when you say like, what's your favorite color? I'm like, I don't know. I've got like two or three. If you want to say two or three, I don't really care. But the idea would just be, if you could give us a dream that you'd love to see come true in your lifetime, what would that be?
So this goes back to the type A OCD kind of person that I am. There was this movie and it had Jack Nicholls and Morgan Freeman in it. And it was The Bucket List. And it was all about, do you even really know the things that you want to achieve? And I watched that movie and I thought, man, I'm going to write down a bucket list. I'm going to do it. And I did. And I continue to do it. And I carried it around with me forever and a day until the paper just kind of got, you know, too ratty to keep carrying it around. The goal there was that I wanted to be intentional about the things that I wanted to achieve. And I wanted to question myself of why were those things important to me? Were they things that I felt called to do? Were they things that I just wanted to do because I felt like they were going to give me prestige or power or, you know, value of some sort, whatever it was. So this has been a years long journey for me. And one of those things, and I've only actually spoken this into the ether to one other person. So I'm
wow. This is vulnerability. I love it.
Speaking this into the ether.
All right.
For you, Jeff. But I remember coming back from one of those mission trips that I took in Haiti and relating back to your question around, you know, the power of capital. I have a passion and a heart for kids. And I realized that there are a lot of children, whether they are in another country, whether they're in our own country, that they got the raw end of a deal, right? And they couldn't pick their family and they couldn't pick their situation and they have no power and they have no control. And there are circumstances that those of us with more have the ability to make a difference with. And so it's always been my dream, my biggest dream, to have a place. And I'm a Western girl, like a ranch, you know, out west, where kids without families could come and live and be loved. That is truly my dream, because I have been so abundantly blessed that, you know, and I did have such a quality home that I just believe that it makes the difference. And if I really want to have generational impact, then you teach people how to be loved and to love others well. And that's where real change in our world and in our communities and in our homes start. So that is the dream that I am now speaking into the ether, Jeff.
I love it. Well, you know what? Sometimes you got to speak that dream and others will come around you and help you make that happen.
That's right.
You know, it's interesting. My wife and I were talking last night about a family we know, and I won't go through all the details, but there's two kids. The husband has passed away and the mom has terminal cancer. And the exact ages of the kids, I don't know, maybe sophomore or something in college and in early years of high school. And as we're talking about it, my heart just hurt thinking to think that they'll be effectively, and I think there are other family scenarios, they're kind of will be alone. And you just realize, first of all, that's probably not an uncommon story, and just how powerful relationships and family is or are, whatever the right word is there. And I think we take it for granted. And I think, interesting enough, I think COVID, for me, And I hope we've all been reminded of just how relational we all are. And I think even the family dynamics, they don't need to always look a certain way.
Nope.
You just need people around you who love on you. And just having that support system, having a safe, in your example,
that's right,
a safe place that is home, that you yep. can be who you, is just powerful.
And I think to your point, the beauty of that is the entire reason that we've created these communities, right? Because mm-hmm. everyone does have all these different family situations and these different friend situations, but at the core, we all need to belong. Like that is, if you look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs,
right.
like that is a core fundamental human need. People need to belong somewhere and they need to connect. And I don't have the power and I don't have the resources to necessarily affect all of the children that I would love to be. But what I do have the power to do is to help create communities where other like-minded individuals can gather together to help do the things that they are passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do that intentionally as individuals, and we do that intentionally as an organization, that is how we begin to change the world. And so do I think I'm going to change the world? No, but you know what? I am aligned with some amazing people
mm-hmm.
that I know together, we have the resources and the talent and the ideas and the vision of how to do that. And that to me is, it's not worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's interesting. The other thing for me is that as we talk is, you think about a family or an individual, whatever, who is reaching out to somebody, who is serving, who is loving. Yeah, obviously that's huge for the person that's receiving that love. But I think we also estimate the life-giving nature of what that does to the person who
that's right.
gives that love.
That's absolutely
or
right.
who donates that money or
that's
who invests
right.
this specific way. And so it's funny. My upbringing, you know, as it comes to investing and impact investing, yes, there's this need to get capital going to areas because it makes a huge impact. And that's, it's an opposite side of the coin. It's the same coin for me, this idea of there is such freedom and joy when you live bigger than yourself.
Absolutely.
Others.
Someone once told me, as a very, very wise, he was actually the father of one of my good friends, and he was an incredibly successful businessman. And I always admired what a heart he had. You know, it was not what I would have expected, like the typical, you know, super successful businessman.
Right.
I mean, this man was just such a heart to him. And I remember one of the lessons that I learned through watching him and talking to him and learning from him was that some of us have been given gifts to serve others through service or time or energy or acts of love or acts of caring or whatever, and our skill sets are different. And then some of us have been blessed with the resources to serve. And it's all serving and it's all stewardship and it's all impact. It just looks different for all of
mm-hmm.
us. And if you can lean into that, you're simply, all of it is your wealth. And ages and stages and seasons and times, you are being intentional with all of it. I think that's what makes us whole people.
Well, and I think you're seeing in the United States today, if I could just isolate it to kind of Wall
yeah.
Street,
yeah.
I think you're seeing a pushback saying it's more than just profits. It's
yep.
more than just capital. Now, in my opinion, I think you can also take that too far, but I don't think
sure.
we're in jeopardy of that right now. And so there is a movement right now of saying capital, however you define it, is meaningful, but that's not going to create your meaning.
That's absolutely correct.
Well, look, I absolutely appreciate you coming on here, sharing your time, your knowledge, being vulnerable. We will be cheering for you in your role as CEO of Signature FD. But then I also want you to know, I'm going to be cheering for you to see and celebrate with you when your dream
thank you.
Becomes a reality.
Thank you.
So, and I actually think, go back to your roadmap. And this is hard for me because I don't always, I get it intellectually. I don't always feel it, but I think it's important, even this question, to have that dream and to have it out there.
Absolutely.
And see how over time it can come together. And then when it does come together, it's that much sweeter. So
that's right. That's right.
Well, thanks so much for your time. And don't forget to subscribe to A New Lens with Common Good Capital on your podcast app of choice. Please rate and review us on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. This will help new listeners find the show and hopefully put them on the path to a more fulfilling portfolio within the impact investing space. I'm Jeff Schaefer. I'll see you next time. Heather, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. Pleasure.
This podcast is a production of Common Good Capital and does not constitute an offer or a solicitation of an offer. Such offer would only be made through a private placement memorandum. Prospective investors in private placement securities should be aware that making an investment is speculative and involves a high degree of risk, including the risk of losing all or a portion of an investment. Investments of this nature are illiquid and subject to substantial restrictions upon transferability.